Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. I am so happy and so excited to have you here with us for this very special interview. We're going to go a little bit off course today from some of the traditional interviews that we've done over the last several years. And every now and again, I meet somebody whose story just so inspires me that I immediately want to share their story with the world. And that's what we're going to be doing today with our guest, Rita Roberts. Before I introduce you to her, though, I do want to thank our sponsors who make today's show possible, the people over at Markham Search LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, including executive search, contingency search, and temporary staffing needs. So please do keep them in mind for any and all of your recruitment needs. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Rita and how this interview came to be. This is a little bit of a unique story. So Rita and I met in Paris about 7 years ago at a party that is called the Ball de l'Etoile, or that was the Ball de l'Etoile, I believe, which was a party that happens once a year with a group of people from around the world. And Rita and I connected and stayed in touch and have seen each other at this annual party a few times since then. And what was really incredible is that when you attend these parties, you kind of have a family for life. And so Rita had always said, Jen, look me up when you're in London. And here I was in London. And I said, Rita, let's get together. I'm here. And so we sat down to have lunch one day. Now, Rita is an astounding businesswoman. She has three companies, just to name a few, one called Immaculate Translations, another one that is called Remap Properties Link, and another company that harnesses the power of all her introductions called The Power of Introductions. And so I knew Rita as this powerhouse, elegant, beautiful, refined businesswoman. And we sit down to lunch here in London about a week or two ago. And then Rita shared with me her story. And it made me think of one of my favorite books called One Amazing Thing by this author, where we think we know people until we hear their stories. And Rita doesn't just have one amazing thing. Her whole story of how she came to own three companies, to live in the United Kingdom, and to raise healthy kids and raise her own family. I'm not going to say much more because this interview is all about Rita, and I want you to be able to connect to knowing that no matter what you're going through in your life, with the right attitude and perseverance and tenacity, you can literally achieve miracles. And Rita, thank you so much as just a friend and as somebody I admire. I'm so happy to have you here with us today.
You're more than welcome, Jennifer.
Rita, I don't even know where to start. You and I sat down to lunch and my mind just kept being blown and blown and blown. So whatever you're comfortable with sharing as far as your story, I invite you to share. And I know some of it might be tough to share. So whatever feels comfortable for you, if you want to start about maybe growing up in Angola and what that was like for you and the journey that you've been on since then.
Okay. Well, I was born and brought up in Angola up till I was 17, 18. Then I decided to come to England. But I grew up in I was born in a place that was so beautiful in the south of Angola. It was green, different shades of green, from the avocado leaf tree, to the corn plantations. The fruit season, the smell in the air was amazing. You smelled a cocktail, the mixture of the mangoes coming up or getting ripe, the lines of yellow pineapples, the tropical fruits like guava, until one day that life was ripped off me when an attack, well, there was war at the time, but it never affected us till that day. When the rebels came to the village where I lived, and they threw bombs into the house where I lived. And at that particular weekend, I spent time, me and my younger brothers and a sister went to spend the weekend at my uncle's house, my father's brother. And the attack started. And my family, my mother, my father, my two older brothers were caught up on fire. The house was under fire. The bomb was thrown in the house and everybody died. Everybody died. We, amongst all the confusion of the people running from right to left and back and forth, not knowing where to run to, I held my brothers and sister. We decided to go home before we reach home, is smoke. Mm. We could see smoke, fire, people bumping into each other, running to different directions. And we get home. There was nothing but ashes and fire and smoke. Smoke that went on for 3 months was still smoking coming out of my house, what it used to be. So it went from green to charcoal gray. The sadness took over the place. It was somber. It was sad. It was so many people died. I lost 4 people, my 2 older brothers, my father and mother. But there were people, just one person left out of a 13 team of families. And there was life for me started that day.
And how old
when
were you?
When I became, say again.
How old were you at that time?
I was 13 years old. I was 13 years old. Oh. And my brother was born after me, was 11. My other brother was 9. And my little sister was 4. She was 4 years old. I became a parent to them that day. And the war was intense. And all I had to do is follow everybody else from wherever they were running to, holding on to my siblings. And we ran night and day. We crossed rivers during the night. We stayed with people we never met before. It was war. We hid in trenches. We did everything we could to survive. Mm. And there was time there was nothing to eat for days. Times we had military convoys passing by who gave us little packages of popcorn. And my sister was too young to chew it, so I would chew it for her and feed it to her. But it was a force within me that just didn't think. All I wanted to do is make sure we survived every day, each day. There are times that we find a place to sleep, and during the night the bombs start falling, we got to get up and run. No shoes on, and if you just find a way to, and as you run, you see people falling beside you. People you spoke to like a few hours or minutes before, they were lying there dead in front of you. We went to places, we reached places for safety, and you find your legs are crushed with all the rubbles and places where you pass through, you don't even feel. Until you get to the destination. Yes, we survived. We survived. And after going through that for several years, was a convoy coming from the south going to the capital, Luanda. Mm-hmm. And I begged for them to take us with them. And they said yes, and we get to the capital. I've never been in a big city before. There was 4 of us, and I didn't know what to do. We survived and stayed in a market, open marketplace, where people sell during the day, and in the evening they go home, and we sleep on their banks, whatever they call it. Those stools where people sell their stuff, we sleep on them, and 5 in the morning before they come, we get out and just spend the whole day in the market and leaving of leftovers or whoever is willing to offer anything to eat. And we, until one day when one of the ladies who used to sell, she was a fishmonger. She used to sell fish all day, and she came earlier than usual, and we got caught sleeping on a bank, yes. And she got really upset, and she screamed at us, and I apologized with all that I could. I asked for forgiveness, and I told her stories, and few days she wouldn't say anything, and one day she calls me and say, do you like to help me sell fish? And that's how it started. I start helping her every day, and she'll give us food in return, and she'll help us with a little bit of money. And before I knew, I could rent a room, we could stay. And after a while, she told me, well, tomorrow meet me by the seaside where she buys the fish. And I go there early morning, and she says, well, from today on, you have. I bought two baskets of fish. One is for you. And I thought, wow. Yeah. And we go back to the market, and I thought, what do I do? I don't have a space to sell it. And she said, no, I give you half of my bank. You sell in one side, I sell in the other. And from that day on, I was now starting to see hope that I may be able to do something for me and for my siblings. I continued to sell fish. A year after that, I had some money. I got my siblings at school. Now we're starting to leave. I'm managing it better. And then I decided I need a job, like a real job in a city. So in the morning I sell fish, and then I clean myself up. In the afternoon I'm all over the city walking by foot from company to company looking for a job. And at the end of the day I stop and sit down by the TV station. And I see the crews coming in and out, their cameras and all the equipment. And and I sit there every day after I look for a job, and I sit there and they see me. After a while, they come and talk to me. What do you do here? We see you here every day. I say, well, I'm looking for a job. And to wind up the day, I just sit here before I get home so I can put my thoughts together, organize my mind, and see how I can do things better. And I see you, it's just you guys coming in and out of a TV station. And well, they left a few days later. They talk to me again and they say, well, you know, we don't pay well, but you can you can help us as you can be an assistant to our producer on the weekends. So now I had a job on the weekends at the TV station as an assistant producer. And on the weekday, I'm still selling my fish and looking for a better job, a full-time job, till I got my first job in a Portuguese company, shipping company, and life started getting better. But I was keen to get a job in an oil company. The French company at the time was called Alpha Kitan. It took me 5 years, but I got that job. Yeah, as I was working there, 7 years after we came to the capital, people came with us who also lost their loved ones in the south. They were being found dead.
Oh, geez.
And now there are people warning me, they probably don't want survivors. They probably want to finish everybody. So they have no chance of getting revenge in the future. The fear became part of our lives again. So we survived being really careful until the person who lived close to where I found my room was found dead as well. That was when then people say, you got to go, you got to leave, you got to go somewhere, you got to, you can't be here anymore. Now, I couldn't bring all of us at once, but as I was the most in danger, because I was older when my parents died and I was more recognizable. My siblings were now 7 years older than when our parents left us. So I was the most in danger. So I left them, my siblings, with the lady who helped me sell fish. And I came. Yeah. But before that, while working there, I met someone where I started having a relationship. He was older than me a year. I was what at the time? I think it was a, I was 16 then. Mm-hmm. Was 16, I met someone, we started dating, and I thought, oh my God, now I've got somebody who can help me with my siblings. Before we knew, I was expecting a baby, and it was called to military service. There I was alone again and expecting a baby for the first time. And then he goes to military service that sent him to Russia to study to become a pilot. He comes back 2 years later. I had a baby who was now 2 years old, plus my siblings. But I had a job and was doing okay. So it comes, by the time he goes back, I'm expecting a second baby. Yeah. So he comes back after his course and he goes to the front line at the borders with South Africa, with Namibia. And he comes back. The second time he goes to the front line, he never came back. There was again, still looking after my siblings, but now I had two more people to look after. So I continued, but when this danger came again, that I was looking for the survivors, I had to find a way to leave the country because it became dangerous for me to be out there. People were appearing dead. Nobody knew how. So I was advised to leave the country. And at the time, I was working for ELF, I think 2 years. So I had 60 days holiday. So ELF, the French company, helped me to get a visa through Spain and then England. For the first time, I leave my country. The only country I knew before, apart from Angola, before I came to England, was Cuba. Because when I became orphan for 2 months, the orphans were sent to Cuba to an international encounter of children. And then we were sent back, and I came to England, and a brand new story starts. I never saw so many blue-eyed people and blonde-headed in one place. It was amazing. My eyes were wide open, and I was, wow, fascinated. Yeah. And I was so happy that now I was in this safe place where I could finally live as I should. And I come to England and the new struggle starts. I never knew that you needed a stay, an immigration situation emerges, and I didn't know how to deal with that, just starting by the language barrier. We speak Portuguese in Angola. I spoke French, I spoke Spanish, but no English. Here I need translators everywhere I need to be. It was tough. And I came with this grandeur of a big life and a hugging person, a loving person. I love loving. I just, every person I met, I was so appreciative. I was so happy. I went for a hug, first thing.
I feel you. I think we all want to.
Yes. And then if I was on the underground, a train, The first eye contact, my smile was so bright. And the people in England were so different. If you look at them and you smile, they hide. They find something else to do. They read papers or they just go into their books or look or elsewhere. So it was quite different to what I was used to. So it was quite difficult to integrate. I wanted to be part of it, but I found that I was being rejected. Mm. Yeah, and then I wanted to find a job. I thought I could just get a job and start integrating, getting to contribute, to give my contribution and participate in life. Mm. I didn't know I needed all these rules, follow these rules. You need a work permit and you need this and you need that. And then I thought, how do I survive? Well, I wait for this to be resolved. That's how I embarked into getting jobs in an illegal way. I started by doing cleaning jobs, which did involve speaking. I couldn't speak English. Mm. So I did cleaning jobs, and as my English improved, I moved into cafes, and then I moved into restaurants. And then I was working for hotels. Before I knew, I was working for Selfridges and Harrods.
Mm.
Yes. And that was in Harrods where I was caught working and put in prison in High Street, Kensington Police Station, where every hour was taken out of my prison cell to translate for the others who were being caught. People from South America, people from different places that they spoke languages that I knew. Until one day, when I was being interviewed there, and I said to them, well, I was caught working illegally because I was desperate to make a living. I was leaving a place that needed to be paid and I needed food. But at least Harrods was paying me. Now I'm doing work for the police, which is translating for the others. And I wasn't being paid for it. And in the same day, I was sent home. And they said, okay, you can go home today, but make sure you don't find any more work until you get the residency. I said, well, I've been here years now. And as you know, I say to the inspector, as you know, the human life is not that long, you know. These are my best years. Then this is when I can give the best of me. This is when I can contribute, when I can participate, when I can make an impact on somebody's life or to the society I'm living in. They say, well, this is just the way rules are. You can't wait. And it took me 22 years to get a stay. So I left the prison. I went home and I started thinking, what do I do now? What do I do? How do I survive? I decided to go to university. And everybody around me thought I was crazy. You can hardly pay your rent. You can hardly
and you your children. If I recall correctly, you had your children and your siblings at that point were back with you, which is just even more remarkable that you're providing
for I thought, how do
and university.
What do I do? So I thought I got to do something positive, as everything seems so it's negative. Nothing good is going on. I don't know what to do. So I decided to go to university. I thought, okay, if they don't want me to work, I must do something. So I decided to go to university, but I didn't know how to pay. So that time was Yellow Pages. I took a Yellow Page and looked for all the charities organizations through the UK. And I wrote a letter to all of them, telling a bit of my story and telling them the will I had to go to university and learn and equip myself for the day when I'm really actually ready and with papers and I can find a job. And I was surprised. The response was amazing. They helped me with enough money to pay up to my second year.
Mm.
Now I had the third year to find a way to pay. And I didn't know how. So I didn't give up. I stood outside university every day in the cold of December for the others to, who were in the lectures, to give me the notes so I can learn what's going on and go through the books on my time and just hoping that something will happen. And then one day, as I stood there, there was a couple of gentlemen. They were talking about one telling the other that they needed a singer because they had a project coming up in 6 weeks from that time. Then I thought, okay. I approached the gentleman after the other left and I said, well, I couldn't help hear your conversation and I was hoping if you give me a chance to be one of the singers. And he went, oh, can you sing? I said, no, I never sang on stage before. But I'm an African girl. And in Africa, we sing when we're happy, we sing when we're sad. And if you give me a chance, I can learn. I said, no, I need professionals. I need people being on stage or being doing this for a living. And I said, you must give me a chance. I need this desperately. So he asked me to come and he played the piano and I could not sing. My diction was so bad.
Hmm.
I couldn't. I started crying and I thought, you need to give me a chance. You have 6 weeks to the day that the project starts, I will learn, I promise. So he gave me 3 sheets of music to go and learn the words, speak the words, don't sing them.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay. 3 days later, I was in front of him. It gave me 2 weeks to get back to him. In 3 days, I was there. I remember getting home, and the next day, I was in one of those places that sold music. And I bought 3 tapes with the music that he gave me. And I listened to the tapes so many times until the tapes start sounding funny. Yes. And I went back to him in 3 days. And he said, no, you could have not learned those songs in 3 days. I say, I know of them. And he played the piano and I was singing in tune and sounding good. So I became part of that project.
If I recall though, Rita, there's one other part of the story that you forgot to mention is that you created your translation business too out of realizing that you could translate for people while in prison. And I just want to highlight that because sometimes we get thrown these curveballs like, my God, being put in prison while you're a provider for your family.
Exactly.
Figuring out your life's purpose is that you're this amazing, renowned translator around the world. So
indeed.
I just want to pause and just highlight that on top of all of the other amazing accomplishments that you've had.
It's true. It is true. And that's where actually the idea of creating a translation services came from. Yeah.
And singing. Now you're a famous singer. So now you're a singer, you're a translator, you've done just about everything, which hats off to you. Most of us just would give up. We'd say, I can't, but you kept pushing through it.
Exactly. So I think before I knew I was singing, I was paying my university. Now I could finish my degree. My third year was done and I had a degree. My confidence went high in so many levels. Because now I knew I was equipped. If today I get my papers, I can go to any company and just ask for a job. And I felt really good about that. And that made me, through this, I was helping other people. Through this journey, I was helping people who actually had everything that it took to have a better life. And it was still back. They didn't know what to do.
Mm.
Some had the degrees, but they were working at the doors of a cinema. At restaurants, I couldn't see them and just not do anything.
Let's pause there for a second, Rita, because I actually want to rewind. This is such an important part of your story. So
right.
I wish I could go on for hours, but I want to highlight some of just these amazing just acts of kindness and generosity that you showed other people. And one of these is that you now coach and help other people get jobs like the gentleman you mentioned. At a cinema door. And
yes.
Then, you know, you coached him and tell that story of how you coached him and what you did to support him with his interview.
Yes. Well, I met him and he had the degree in computer science and he was working at a cinema door man. And I couldn't. I met him. We changed numbers. For some reason, I just kept thinking of him. It can't be. You can't have a degree and have every paper that I'm looking for and not be using that for your advantage. It's not possible. And I go to him and I say, okay, I know you tried to get jobs. You couldn't. Now you're not alone. You can. Let's try that together. Mm. Let's see if we can get you a job. And, I used to sit with him and look at his CVs and improve it. We went through interview techniques, what companies ask for, what are their techniques, what they use to get to employ people. We went through that. And then self-confidence, how you build a person up, how you walk into an interview as if the job is already yours. And if they don't give it to you, it's their loss. Because you're here to contribute, you're here to participate, you're here to make the company better. If they don't employ you, they're losing something great. You got to go into that interview with that attitude. Yeah, and before we knew, after sending 200 CVs, I think we did, the Royal Bank of Scotland calls. And now we're in panic. They gave him an interview day. I hardly had money. He didn't have any money. How do we get him ready for interview? We went from charity shop to charity shop to find him a suit. And then put up the pennies to get him a haircut. Mm. And he goes to this interview and I'm telling him, I'll go with him and I'm telling him all through the way, you stand as if that you belong to the place. You enter and look people in the eye. Be kind, be polite. Talk, but mostly listen to each question. And speak to them. Don't go there with an attitude of, I don't know if I'll get the job. Mm-hmm. And go there and show who you are and what you're capable of. And make them believe, show your soul there. Don't let them just look at you, make them feel you. And he was coming out the interview before we could get home. He got an interview for the second, call for the second interview. The rest is history. He got the job and now he's doing really well. And I was so proud. I was so proud. He felt as if his success made me successful. I felt success through him. I felt so great. It was, his success built me up. He started showing what I was capable of. Yeah. Impacting that life made me feel great about myself. Yeah, and with that, I did the same for other people. Yeah,
I love that you've done that for so many people, Rita, and for anybody.
Yeah, I did. And I'm so proud. I was so proud. I could see them grow, even though I couldn't do it for myself. I was helping others fly. It made me feel really good. Yeah.
That's so important. I tell people often on the show, one thing that you can do for one another during this time, 40 plus million Americans are out of work, let alone tens of millions of other people around the world who are unemployed or underemployed, have an accountability buddy, have somebody, find your Rita Roberts. Find
somebody. Totally. It's amazing when we discover that we can really be a support system to one another.
Yes.
Yeah. Just give a little so somebody can live a little.
Yes. And that's so funny. And this is why I wanted to have Rita on this show today, is because Rita's whole story is a life where she faced obstacle after obstacle, hardship after hardship, things that most of us can't even fathom what it's like to go through. And yet she persevered and she did it with a smile and she did it with kindness and she didn't have resentment or anger or bitterness. She just kept pushing through. And then she asked, how can I help? That is literally the secret to life. That is the secret to making millions of dollars, to having your dream job, finding your soulmate.
Yes.
Of service and help people. And that's what your whole life has been about, Rita.
Yeah, it is. And also, at times I think maybe it was a selfish reason behind it. Was a way of me not focusing solely on my problems. Seeing somebody succeed took my mind out of what I was going through. But nevertheless, some people grew and they're doing well because I was there. So it makes me feel good. And I think the world can be better if we all do something for one another.
I completely agree. I remember one of my spiritual teachers years ago said, if you're ever feeling depressed, the quickest way to get yourself out of depression is to share. It could be sharing a smile. It could be sharing an act of kindness towards another person, holding a door open. And when we do that, even though we might seem in situations that are filled with despair, miracles show up in our lives in unprecedented ways. Because you wound up getting, after 22 years of being here in London, you finally have the right to stay here, right?
Yes, I got now I'm a British citizen. Yeah, and you know, all the hardship made me feel like I've earned it. Mm. Yeah, I've earned it. Now I'm out there, I can do all that I want. There was time through all these years, a point that I thought, oh my, human life is not that long, and my best lives are passing me by. My best years are passing me by, but I guess it's never too late.
It is.
Any time is a good time.
Exactly. And my intention for all of our viewers and listeners out there, if you're viewing with us right now on Facebook Live, or if you're listening later on iTunes or one of the other channels, I invite you to share this episode. My intention for Rita, and we talked about this, is she shared with me when we sat down to lunch that her dream is to be a motivational speaker and to write a book and share her story. And I want to make that dream a reality. So please share this episode with your friends. Tell people Rita's story. I know I've told your story, Rita, to at least 20 friends. I'm like, oh my gosh, you have to hear the story of the most amazing, inspiring woman
I've ever met. How kind of you, Jenny. And it's also because you gave me the space to open up. You know, you allowed me. Your spirit is so receptive. Accommodating. He allowed me to talk about this. Because not everybody can tell a story just for no reason. Start telling your story. You need the soul that accommodates that feel of, your spirit made me home. So,
I adore you. I love you, Rita. I'm so happy that we've been able to have you here with us today. And I do want you to say, I mean, what would your advice be to somebody right now? So many people around the world are faced with unemployment, the pandemic. What advice would you give people out there who might be struggling in their own lives?
Well, my advice to all is, as long as you were given another chance. Every time you wake up, you were given another opportunity. Don't waste it. Every day you wake up is another chance you were given. Somebody else didn't have that chance. Some people went to bed and never woke up to see today. And as long as you're here, as long as you're alive, there's a space, there's a place for you. Make sure you claim that space. Make sure you use your time to make an impact. Influence somebody's life. Because as you make an impact to somebody's life, that's how we learn to live forever. Because the memory you leave on other people's minds will stay with them. Be there, be counted. Stand up and be counted. And go for what you believe. Go for what you really believe, because maybe somebody's out there suffering, waiting for your impact in their lives, waiting for you to live your best, to live your purpose. And your purpose may be what they're waiting for, so they can start living as well. Let's all stop surviving and start living at some point, shall we, please? That's my advice.
Rita, I'm just giving you the biggest hug in the whole wide world. I just love your spirit. I see you standing on the stage.
I love you too. I love you, Jennifer. I really do. Thank you for this space. Thank you for being who you are and what you are. You're special.
So are you, my friend. And I want everybody to hear your story and just to know whatever you're going through, you can get through this. And Rita, to tell people though, where can people follow you, find you if they want to use your Immaculate Translation services, or if they want to follow you to find out when the book's coming out or where the blog is? I know I'm
right.
The whole book. So tell us where we can go to follow you.
Well, I have a website. I'll give you one of them, which is the Immaculate Translations, which is www.immaculatetranslations.com. And also you can find me on Facebook as Rita Roberts. Where else? I can give you my email, ritaroberts8@icloud.com.
Perfect.
Or ritaroberts@ritamroberts.com.
Incredible. Please, I invite everybody out there, follow Rita, reach out to her. Let's make her dream a reality. She has
been
so much, provided for so much. So if you have any resources out there, so that
I can't actually remember my Instagram now, but never mind.
I never remember my Insta either. Don't even worry about it. We'll find you one way or another. But it's
thank you.
Please, everybody, let's get behind Rita. Get behind her story. Let's help get this story out there to the world.
So I really appreciate this. I appreciate this with all my heart.
Well, Rita, I adore you. And I'm just so thankful to have you in my life. And the way that we came into one another's lives is just a miracle. You know, you just got to show up and say yes. I think that's the thing. It's a final closing thought. Is a mutual
show up. That is the best. Yeah. Show up. Be there, be present, be present. Yeah. If I never went to that ball, oh God, I'll never have met you. Can you imagine the loss?
Oh,
I'm so glad. Aww. I'm so glad to know you, honestly. Yeah.
Rita, and thank you to everybody who stayed with us today for this journey, for listening to Rita's story and being able to hear somebody's story and to hear the amazing thing that makes Rita who they are. And I invite you to consider, what is your own amazing story? We all have an amazing story to share.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Tell the story. Life is too short. Like Rita said, if we woke up today, we're the lucky ones. We woke up today, and no matter what we might be faced with, take today and kick it in the face and say, I got this.
That's it. That's it. Take the opportunities, take the chances. Don't let them pass you by.
Exactly.
Yeah. Go and meet you, Jennifer.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
Get out there.
Thank you, Rita. And if anybody missed this episode and you want to check it out again, because I know I'm probably going to want to replay this story and share it with all my friends, because I just can't say enough good things about Rita, you can go to iTunes under Get Yourself the Job on iTunes. And on LA Talk Radio's Facebook page, you'll be able to rewatch the Zoom version of this, as well as on the latalkradio.com website. And do check out too, I'll be sure to post this video on the Get Yourself the Job page on Facebook. So share with us your thoughts on Rita's stories. And if you have any ways to help share this and forward it, move it forward, please reach out to Rita or post in one of the social networks or the podcast networks.
I appreciate that.
Support you to pay back all the good you've done in the world.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Jenny.
Lots of love, everybody.
Thank
have a wonderful rest of the week. Be well.
Thank you, my love. Thank you.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.